Vegas, baby, Vegas!
At the end of the game, you count up your money. That's how you find out who's best.
If all my bets were safe, there just wouldn't be any juice.
The point spreads, the prop bets, the teasers, the parlays. From Vegas to you, this is Behind the Bets.
Welcome back to another episode of Behind the Bets with Doug Kazarian, presented by DraftKings, America's top-rated sportsbook app. And I got to give a round of applause to Mike Tannenbaum. How about his performance last week, saying the Jets were live, basically, to use our gambling phrases, saying that they were going to be tough at home, that they're finally getting healthy on offense. And they stepped up. If not for Greg Williams' wizardry, the Jets would have a win. Instead, they do not. And I'm actually using the Jets' next game in the bonanza at the end of the podcast. So I'll talk about that with Murray coming up. We're going to talk about all the other games in a little bit. And Tannenbaum called the Giants upset outright. He hit the nail on the head. So tough act to follow for Damian Woody, two-time Super Bowl champ, coming up in a little bit as well. And I asked Damian, and I structured this questions for us bettors to kind of read between the lines, for lack of a better phrase. But basically, I gave him a bunch of teasable games, like the Packers, the Saints, the Chiefs, and asked him if any of them were going to lose the game. And we'll see his answer in a little bit. But those are the classic teaser situations. And that's something that I think all of us can enjoy listening to, like the Bucks at home, Titans at the Jags. So I asked Damian that, and I gave him a bunch of coin flip games. Some of those tight, you know, basically 2-point spreads or less, let him pick a winner in that. So Damian Woody is going to be joining us in a little bit. First, Mr. Executive Director John Murray of the Westgate will join us as well, and we'll wrap things up with the bonanza. So let's get to it. But before we do that, I want to remind everyone of another ESPN podcast, Stanford Steve and the Bear. Stanford Steve Coughlin and Chris the Bear Felica put their unique spin on the world of playing the odds in college football, horse racing, and more. Be sure to download and subscribe to Stanford Steve and the Bear, as well as Behind the Bets with Doug Kazarian on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Kicking is for losers.
Yes, kicking is always for losers. So is zero blitz with the game on the line for midfield. But we'll get into that as we welcome in Mr. Executive Director. How are you, sir?
I'm good, and I'm not entirely convinced that the Jets didn't do exactly what they were hoping to do with that blitz call by Greg Williams. I don't know.
You know, I was thinking the same thing, but then they fired him.
Doug.
It is very suspicious. The firing.
And Greg Williams is the kind of guy, too, where he would throw the whole organization under the bus. Like, if he was just following orders and then they fired him, I think he'd be the first guy to leak that out. So, but boy, that was a hell of a play call there to send the house. All you got to do is put everybody back at the goal line, let them complete the pass, and then tackle them. It's really quite easy.
Big win for me in the bonanza with that teaser. So that was a big decision for the house, I would imagine, that the Jets fall to 0-12.
Yeah, that was definitely. We didn't lose on the game because we lost a little bit on the game, I should say, because the Jets did cover. But the amount that we could have won, knocking out all the moneyline parlays and teasers, it was just a massive amount. And then as soon as that game ended with Raiders win, we shift all of our attention over to the Jacksonville-Minnesota game, because you've got all those same – or a lot of those same parlays, I should say, had Minnesota in them. And then Jacksonville blew the game in overtime there. Minnesota surviving in that game. So we had two chances in the morning there to really win a huge number. We couldn't get either of those two teams to lose for us.
But did the Seahawks do you a favor in that regard?
Yeah, and you're right. And then it moves into the Seattle game, Seattle against the New York Giants. A lot of the parlays had Seattle. So we did win a lot of that money, but it wasn't the really significant number that it could have been with your Raiders losing.
Yeah, no, that was nice. I was very excited. I'm getting a little bit of the fandom back. Obviously, I had the teaser and some other elements. People didn't listen to the podcast. Mike Tannenbaum warned the people that the Jets were live and so were the Giants. I actually said on Sunday morning on camera even, I was like, I think the Giants are going to win this game. I did a poll on Twitter and said, what should I do for my eliminator pool? Because I was down to one of four guys in my pool. And put the options out there, and the Seattle pick was the most popular in the poll. And I said, thanks, but no thanks. I took the Ravens. So I'm still alive, down to three now. I would have won the pool if the Vikings lost. So they had two entries or on Jacksonville. So So the house did well. I know favorites have been taking a bath the last few weeks, but not as well as it could have been had the Jets or Jags cooperated, right?
Yeah, but you know, the Giants really were huge for us in the afternoon. And then the other winner was Cleveland. Cleveland winning outright against the Titans. But we had the Titans included in a lot of parlays here, a lot of straight parlays, money line parlays with Tennessee. But New York Giants winning that game, and the New York Giants on a roll right now. They won at the football team. They beat the Eagles. They won at the Bengals. And then they went at the Seahawks. They're on a roll. And even before that, they covered in a loss to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers on Monday night. So the Giants are a pretty hot team right now, and they're a team that's made a lot of money for the books the last few weeks.
You know, their schedule was so brutal. I was saying that this was going to be a bet-on team. It took me a while to follow my own advice, but I think this team's a little friskier than people realize now. It'll be interesting to see what happens this weekend. We'll get into that game in a little bit, but I first want to ask you, in terms of Week 14, what is the biggest line moves or sharp action you've seen?
Line move, the football team. You know, they've been bet down from 4.5 down to +3, even money. They're on the road against San Francisco. San Francisco, a really trendy pick on Monday night, a game they ended up losing to Buffalo. But a lot of sharp guys were on the 49ers last week. Now they've shifted over to Washington this week. Washington with two consecutive very good wins. They beat the Cowboys in Dallas on Thanksgiving Day, and then they knocked off the 11-0 Steelers on Monday night, which I don't think too many people would have seen that coming. But Washington +7, +7.5 on Monday was a very sharp pick. Washington's a sharp pick again this week. And then the other one is, I don't know if I can get behind this because I just lost with them last Sunday, but Philadelphia +7 is a pick we've seen some respected money come in on. And the market's moved down to 6.5 in most places right now. New Orleans at Philadelphia Sunday.
What do you think the line would be if it were Wentz and not Jalen Hurts?
I think it'd be the same. I don't think that there's any difference right now. I think that there's so little respect right now for Carson Wentz, to put it nicely. I don't think he has any impact on the point spread in that game.
He feels like a broken man. That's what it looks like. I think it's a guy who's skittish in the pocket, leads the NFL in turnovers, also leads the NFL in interceptions. Same thing, obviously, to a certain extent. So I think he just needs to like get out of Dodge. I wonder what's going to happen with them. And Hurts is facing a prevent defense, some nice plays here and there. It's a little different going against New Orleans, which in practice kind of prepared against Taysom Hill, right? There's some parallels there. I wonder if Philly's a dead dog there.
Yeah, it's, you don't want to read too much into what Jalen Hurts did on Sunday against Green Bay, because you're right. It was kind of a prevent defense there. And don't forget, New Orleans, that could be the best defense in the NFL, at least in the NFC, I should say. So it's going to be a tough spot for Hurts, his first start going up against the number one seed in the NFC.
Any other sharp money?
Not really. Not too much yet to report on in the NFL. Just those two so far. Interesting line move in the Houston-Chicago game. All the money's coming in on Houston, and the market drifted the other way towards Chicago. Although we did move our number back up about a half hour ago because we're reading about some possible COVID-related shenanigans involving the Chicago Bears. So that's always the fun thing this year in 2020. So we're going to try to stay to the high side of the market right now in that Chicago-Houston game because we're hearing
Texans
some COVID stuff on the Bears.
Road favorites against a team that started 5-1 that has since lost 6 games in a row. So the Bears, I know there's some people on the over there too. This is prior to the COVID stuff, but Trubisky, obviously higher tempo with the offense. Deshaun Watson's numbers on the road and just in general are pretty impressive. Packers, I imagine, so there's been some line move with the Packers-Lions. Packers are a road favorite here, laying 7.5. This one's come down a little bit, right?
Yeah, it has come down a little bit. And I think that the Lions will probably be our biggest need of the week this week in the NFL. We were at 8.5. They took that. They took 8 with Detroit. Now we're down to 7.5. But you know it's going to be very, very lopsided ticket count. The game being in the afternoon versus being at 10 a.m. I think increases the amount of money bet on the game. Although this is a pretty crowded afternoon schedule, in fairness. I think there's 6 afternoon games this week, but that time slot will make it probably even more of a heavily bet game. Detroit probably will end up being our biggest need of the week this week.
Really? I have a theory. Workshopping it. So I'll let you know. You know, sure. I want to hear what you think.
I love zany theories. Go ahead. Yeah. I'm all about.
Aaron Rodgers underrated?
I think he's underappreciated maybe sometimes. I don't think that's crazy. I think sometimes athletes that have been so great for so long, LeBron James comes to mind, Bill Belichick, a coach, obviously, but he's been so great for so long. Guys that have been so at the top for that long, I think people start to take it for granted. And I think maybe that's the case with Aaron Rodgers. Sometimes people have been so great and they've been at the top for so long that the media and the fans just take for granted that they're going to be great every time. And maybe they don't give enough respect to it.
Well, I think a large part of this is the one Super Bowl ring, right? And let's go back. I mean, there was a complete epic collapse against Seattle, and I think it was the NFC Championship game, if not, it was the second round. But even before
it was
that,
the NFC Championship game, yeah.
He's had Mike McCarthy in his way. Look what's happened since they got the McCarthy stench out of there. He goes 13-3 last year with LaFleur. I think they have three losses this year. The only bad loss was kind of home to the Vikes. And, you know, like, I think they're a contender. I think they're getting dismissed. So I'm going to continue to lay it with the Packers and Rodgers, and especially teasers. I just don't think he gets the respect when people think about contenders. I think it's the Saints. I think it's other teams that are ahead of him. I don't know. I mean, look, maybe he's just really, really, really good and not a champion contender every last few years, and that's fine. Yeah. I just think we're seeing the true Rodgers now that McCarthy's out of the way.
Well, the if you look at that NFC Championship game, I believe they gave up an onside kick, or they would have won the game. And there was another play, too, where I think it was Morgan Burnett of the Packers intercepted a pass, and he went down early instead of just running it back for a touchdown. Isn't that
right?
There was multiple, like, he could have probably scored a touchdown or at the very least gone a very long way. And for whatever reason, he decided to just slide to the ground as if the game was over. And then Green Bay had to punt the ball back to Seattle. So I'm just pointing to those two plays as two plays that Aaron Rodgers, as the quarterback, has no control over. And just to illustrate how stupid I think it is to judge a player in a team sport exclusively based on team championships. I think that's ridiculous. I think it should be part of the discussion, but it can't be the only way you judge a team sport athlete, because there's so much stuff that's out of these guys' control.
Right. No, I've said it for years. He's not even on the field half the game. But just furthering that point, I just think the sharp money, quote unquote, is a lot of times trying to fade these Packers. And I just haven't understood it all year. I just don't. I think there's better ways to make money. What else do you think are your biggest needs for the weekend?
I was just going to say, though, that there was an opinion that the Packers were going to regress. And I think that's why you see a lot of these sharp guys going against them after they had such a good season a year ago. I think there was an assumption that they would regress, and maybe people need to let that go. It really hasn't happened. But outside of Detroit, Philadelphia, we just talked about that game. The public is going to definitely be on New Orleans. The public is going to be on Tennessee. They're on the road at Jacksonville, and the public is on Kansas City every week, and they're going to be on them again this week. They're on the road at Miami. We're going to need Miami pretty big in that game.
I think you're okay there. Chiefs have not covered four straight. At some point, they're going to click, but I feel like they're in like a mid-season lull, even though we're week 14. I think Miami's a decent team to need versus like Jacksonville or some of the other bad teams. I think Miami, obviously, in the playoff race, I think that's a decent team to need.
I like Miami. I think they're very well coached, and I agree with you. They're good defensively. It's just nerve-wracking to sit here in my chair and root against Patrick Mahomes. Like, some of the throws the guy makes, it's just like, you can't do that. How did he do that? You don't really like being against Patrick Mahomes, but it's just something that we all have to get used to.
Fun primetime slate coming up this weekend. Let's start with tonight's game. Patriots at the Rams, a rematch of that Super Bowl a couple years ago. Remember my famous 100-1 prop rant that I did forever? No touchdowns in the first half. It got there. I think you guys closed 18-1 on that prop. But people heckled me.
We would have lost so much if there had been no touchdown scored in that game. It was going to be. I remember watching that game, and you know, we tell all the executives, like, root for nothing to happen, root for a boring game, root for nothing, because that's really good for the props. And then at some point in the third quarter, I was like, you know, I should probably bring it to these guys' attention that we don't want this little to happen.
Right.
Somebody's got to score a touchdown in this game. Not the most exciting Super Bowl of all time. Let's just say that.
because the Patriots, Eagles, everything happened and you guys lost on props because all the overs had all the records scoring in yards. Look, there's a lot of narrative right there, especially because Goff struggled earlier this year against Brian Flores, the defensive coordinator for the Patriots for that Super Bowl, now the head coach of Miami. So he struggled. So everyone thinks that like Goff is going to be a wet blanket, or that's probably the wrong phrase, but just a total dud tonight. But it was a different situation. That was like the fifth trip to the East Coast for the Rams, Miami off a bye. It was just the circumstances were very different than what we're seeing tonight. I think there's a little too much love on New England. I'm worried that it's a square dog play.
Well, I wouldn't go that far. I mean, the money's pretty split right now. We just had a guy just while we were talking bet 20,000 on the Rams minus 4.5. There's a few more tickets on New England, but I don't know if I'd go so far as to call it a square dog. I knew that the public was going to, or that there'd be money on New England this week after they won their game last week, 45-0. That's how the public bets on the NFL. We talk about that all the time. So that's not a big surprise that that there would be some public support for them coming off of a win that big.
Pittsburgh, Buffalo, we saw a switch in favorite after the Monday night results, right? We saw Pittsburgh lose, Buffalo win. So now Buffalo's a short favorite here. Went through the number 0. What are you anticipating here for the Sunday night football?
Well, just like while we were recording that, I mean, you were asking me for sharp NFL plays and a few minutes ago. And while we were recording, one of our most respected NFL players just took Pittsburgh plus 2.5, took Pittsburgh on the money line plus 120. We moved it down. Now we've got the Steelers plus 1.5, money line plus 105. So very sharp play on the Steelers. Same group that bet Washington last week against the Steelers. And they bet Washington plus the points and the money line. Now they've switched back over to Pittsburgh. Steelers money line and the points this week.
Wow. Wow. What did they get Washington at? That was before the move off 7.
They took like plus higher up. Plus 7. My memory serves me. They took plus 7. And they took plus 290 on the money line on the football team last week.
That money line.
Good pick there. But the bottom line is they won. And that was a good pick on the side on the points there.
No doubt. Baltimore at Cleveland on Monday night. This was pick'em. And now I believe, Baltimore's up to 2 now.
Yeah, and that same group we just talked about. Very busy morning here as we record this show. They also just as we're doing the show in real time, they bet Baltimore minus 1. Baltimore at Cleveland on Monday Night Football. Very critical game in the AFC North. Cleveland quietly 9-3. Great win against Tennessee. Cleveland's got a short week to prepare for this game, having just played on Tuesday against Dallas. But that sharp group, like I said, they just laid 1 on Baltimore, and we moved it up to minus 2. This happened in the last 10 minutes.
It'll be fun. Dog pound. I know no fans, but dog pound Monday Night Football as football was intended. So that'll be really exciting. A couple bonus games that are not in prime time, but sort of have a high profile. Minnesota at Tampa. I mean, this is like put up or shut up time for the Bucs, right? Off a bye. They've lost some high profile games. We know that Brady, his early bedtime obviously disrupts some of these primetime performances, 0-4 ATS at night games this year. But at some point, and you lost both meetings with the Saints, some points you got to deliver. You're catching a Minnesota team that's won 5 of 6, but really only one impressive win in there. Bucks have to win this game. I mean, I'm going to have them on a lot of teasers, I think. But 6.5, it still feels short. I think Tampa Bay and Brady can carve up this Minnesota defense.
You would think so. You know, Minnesota really, they played so well when they got Dalvin Cook back. You think back to that win they had over Green Bay. They look like a team that was really turning the corner. Then they go and they lose to Dallas at home. Dallas is dreadful. They barely survived last week against Jacksonville. I could see where people would be ready to write off the Minnesota Vikings. The Buccaneers have to win this game. Most of the money is on the Buccaneers here. Not setting up to be a really big decision, at least not right now. We'll probably need Minnesota by the time the game kicks off. But right now, a pretty even game between the Vikings and the Bucs. The 10 a.m. start for 10 a.m. West Coast, 1 o'clock Eastern start for Brady. That's good for old Morty Seinfeld there.
It is. This is an intriguing game just because it's Phillip Rivers, who seems to be hanging on by a thread. But everything about Indy says that's the right side. But Vegas plus 3 at home is intriguing too.
Yeah, split money there too. I mean, you know the public has been betting the Raiders pretty much every week here. except for when they played Kansas City, of course. But right now, pretty split action. We had the Colts -2.5 briefly. We moved it to 3. Now we're at 3 even. Been takers on both sides. The Colts are really good defensively when they have everybody healthy. That game against Tennessee a couple weeks ago, I think you throw that out the window because the Colts just had too many guys out on the defensive side of the ball. But you could also say that the Colts were fortunate last week. They beat Houston last week 26-20. Probably our biggest loser of the morning was that Houston-Indianapolis game. Keep an eye on the injury report always for the Colts, because when they have that full group healthy defensively, they're very good.
If I had to bet it, I'd probably grab the points. Back-to-back road games is tough, especially late in the season. I'd grab it with Vegas at home. Final, there's just a couple stupid games, but all tickets cash the same. Anything to report. Dallas road favorite, 3.5 at Cincy. For me, I would take the Bengals. Denver at Carolina. I like Carolina -3. And too bad Dan Quinn got fired, because this would be a nice coaching matchup. Dan Quinn and the Falcons at the Chargers with Anthony Lynn. Anything to report?
Dan Quinn against Anthony Lynn. That would be a fun coaching matchup. I agree with that. Dallas, Cincinnati, nothing to report on that game. We don't have a number right now for Denver, Carolina. I'm not sure where you're getting a number on that game, but we've got that game off the board at the moment. And then what was the other game? Oh yeah, Atlanta against the Chargers. The money's on Atlanta. You know, the Chargers just lost 45-0. So the public is definitely going to back the Falcons here.
I'm going to get research to look up the last time a team with a record this bad like Dallas has is a road favorite over a field goal. That's impressive. That's certainly noteworthy.
Pretty impressive. But it says a lot about the Bengals offense.
Yeah. And I said it. I mean, Miami's one of my best plays. I said Brandon Allen, the rap on him is he's terrible at the line of scrimmage, audibling, and reading defenses when he drops back. That's Miami's, like, bread and butter, right? Like, exotic blitzes. Dallas is terrible. I think Miami's going to win that game. We'll chat later in the bonanza.
Yes, sir.
I know the leagues. I know the teams. I know these players. I know this wonderful game called football.
All right, we need a little protection on the pod. So time now to bring in a two-time Super Bowl champ and former offensive lineman who I believe has played every position on the offensive line in the NFL. Damian Woody, how are you, sir?
Doug, I'm good, sir. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. Is that an accurate stat? Did I remember that correctly?
You're close. The only position I didn't play was left tackle, but I played up all other positions.
You are definitely a renaissance lineman. I like it. So, look, man, I talked about it last week with Mike Tannenbaum. One of the things I miss most about being, you know, on ESPN campus is getting to pick your guy's brain, not necessarily on air, but off air. So now we get to do it on air here on the podcast. So I appreciate you taking the time. And let's just dive right into it. Like I mentioned, you won 2 Super Bowl rings with the Patriots. You've also played on some non-playoff teams, not quite the 0-12 Jets of 2020. Given how last week ended for New York, and the firing of Greg Williams. Now they have to go on the road to Seattle, cross country. Do you expect them, after that demoralizing loss, to have kind of any sort of showing in this game?
Doug, I think it's going to be tough, man. There's a reason why, you know, losing, you know, bad teams are bad. And it's for a plethora, it's for a variety of reasons. But the one thing that's really been pretty evident here in New York, and I'm, you know, based out of New Jersey, is this team still hasn't turned the page from last week's debacle. You know, one of the things that I learned in New England under Coach Belichick is, man, you got to once you get play that game, it's time to move on to the next. And we've heard, you know, how Bill Belichick said, on to Cincinnati and on to this game and on to that game. You literally have to move on. And this team is still dwelling on that Raiders debacle. And that's not a good sign when you're going up against the Seattle Seahawks up in the Pacific Northwest.
You know, that's kind of my concern. We talk about it in our betting world as like spots, like the situational spot. And I just felt it was a really tough ask of New York to go out there after just the way the game ended, just in a brutal, brutal way. Let's look at some other games. Look, like I mentioned, you had a couple nice playoff runs in your career. You know what it's like when you kind of reach December, or even mid-December in this case, and you have to gear up for that playoff run. There's kind of peaks and valleys to a season. Well, now you have these kind of teams with championship aspirations, Packers at the Lions, Titans at the Jags, Bucks
against the Vikings, Chiefs at the Dolphins, Saints at the Eagles. Do you think any of those teams, the ones I mentioned on the left, like at first, will have will lose the game given with all the stakes in play here?
You know, Doug, anything can happen in December, but I tend to think, just through my experience, at this time of year, the cream always rises to the top. And if you want to be considered a serious contender, a championship caliber team, then you have to take care of business at this time of year. There's no room for hiccups, no rooms for mistakes. You have to be playing your best ball at this time of year. So, when you know, whether you're talking about the Green Bay Packers and you know, the Tennessee Titans and Indianapolis Colts and Tampa Bay, if these teams, you know, have championship aspirations, they got to take care of business, man. So I don't expect them to have a letdown. You just can't have that at this time of year.
So, like, those teams, like, they're not necessarily championship caliber, but they're playoff caliber. You think they have the kind of genetic makeup to just to handle their business? Because we do see crazy upsets from time to time this time of year.
Yeah, absolutely. But I, you know, one thing you see is teams are what they are right now. You know, once you get past September, October, you start to hone in on what their habits are, the things they do well, and then they just go from there. So what we've seen from all these teams, that's who they're going to be. And so these good teams that are vying for, that are jockeying for playoff positioning, I expect them to continue to play some pretty good ball, and you shouldn't have any type of major letdowns at this time of year.
Okay, good, good. Now, there's some games, other games on the schedule this weekend for Week 14 that are expected to be a little bit tighter. And I'll read you a few, and let me know if you feel strongly about any of them just to win the game. Could be one, could be a bunch, could be none. Cardinals go to the Giants. At the time of the taping, we're not 100% sure if it's Colt McCoy or Daniel Jones. Texans at the Bears. Steelers at the Bills, Sunday Night Football. And then on Monday Night Football, it's Ravens at the Browns. Do you have any strong feeling about one of those teams or more than one to win the game?
Wow. Man, those are some pretty compelling matchups. I'll tell you what. I am high on the Bills. I think the Bills are the second best team in the AFC. I think the Bills are the team that could challenge the Kansas City Chiefs in the AFC in the playoffs. And the biggest reason why is Josh Allen. Josh Allen has just made a phenomenal leap in year three in that system. His skill guys, Stephon Diggs, Cole Beasley. I mean, those guys have been fantastic. And the way that Josh Allen has been able to use his legs in the pocket, outside the pocket, his accuracy, he is just deadly. And if he continues on this trajectory, I think they're the scariest team outside of Kansas City, to be honest with you. Not Pittsburgh, not Baltimore, not Tennessee. For my money, it's the Buffalo Bills.
Yeah, the arm strength is something you can't coach. I mean, he extends drives and makes a throw that just not many other quarterbacks in the NFL can make. Now, their defense was their calling card previous years. It hasn't been the same this year. Are you concerned at all about that side of the football once we get into the playoffs?
No, I'm not, because they're starting to play. They're playing better. They're not the unit that they were last year, you know, for the past couple of years where, you know, they were like a top, you know, top three, top five unit. But they don't have to be when you got an offense that's playing as well as the Buffalo Bills are playing and the way the quarterback is playing, you don't have to be a top three, top five unit. You just got to hold down the fort. Because that offense is going to be awfully, awfully hard to stop if Josh Allen continues to play at this level.
No, it's a great point. Sometimes we look at it the other way, like the offense, you know, just has to do enough for the defense to win the game. But now we're looking at it this way. Damian, look, man, you have tons of experience and insight into this league. I'm excited to you know, for our listeners to be able to glean some of the wisdom. And I appreciate your taking the time here.
Oh, man, anytime, man. Looking forward to talking to you again.
All right, buddy. Be well.
That guy is kryptonite on a stick.
It's time for Baby Bankroll Bonanza.
Oh, big move in the Bonanza, Mr. Executive Director. That Jets defense bailed me out on a teaser. Mm-hmm. Also had the Packers, so I got there for a dime. And your Eagles, even though you got 9.5, I want to say, did not. So according to Darren the intern, you're down to plus 1,400, and I am plus 4,125, so over $4,000. Big move in the last couple of weeks for yours truly.
Yeah, are we double checking this Darren the intern's numbers, or are we just trusting him? I mean, I don't know. I mean, I know you had that teaser. I had the Eagles plus 9, I think, which deserved to lose. But when Jalen Reagor had that punt return for a touchdown, I thought for a second I might get inside the number.
Yeah, that was.
But I would like to double check.
Up to be a nice backdoor.
Maybe the intern or the Darren the intern needs an intern, and then we can have that individual double check Darren's numbers. And then if those numbers aren't good, I'll get another person to double check the second guy until the numbers all spin in my favor.
Yeah, keep and maybe grease the wheel. So
yes, sir.
I left the game off our earlier discussion because I wanted to do it for the Bonanza, but I want to get your am I on the tee box first because I'm up?
Yeah, I think you got to go first because I'm off of a loss. Fair. And I'd been on a bit of a roll there, kind of quietly.
Yeah,
I've been on a little bit of a roll, but no, a loser.
Some would say you weren't betting enough during that roll. That would be my
assessment. Well, now it's easy to say that now. Yeah, of
course. Yeah. Uh-huh. All right. I saved this one. I can't imagine a better situational spot than the Seattle Seahawks over the Jets. Now, there's a tax on this play. There is definitely a tax. Because it's 13.5 where it should be like 10.5. But I'm paying that tax and then some. I will go $3,000 on the Seahawks. And I intend to maybe bail out. But
right.
I am very optimistic about a Jets just barely showing up with a whimper.
Well, you know, we did have this game. We did have this game a little higher when you talk about the look-ahead numbers. You know, we referenced those a lot on this show.
Sure.
It was more like a 14.5-15 on the look-ahead number on the New York Jets. When we reopened this game Sunday night, we reopened at 14. Seattle minus 14. Right now, we're down to 13.5.
Well, the reason I say that is what Mike Tannenbaum talked about in the podcast last week. The Jets are healthier. The receiving core finally came intact. The first game was with that Monday nighter that they almost beat the Patriots with Flacco. So Darnold is finally getting adjusted to this new risk, and they're not deep enough to withstand injuries. So the Jets' offense is actually decent. So I'm going to probably end up protecting it on my own with some team total overs for the Seahawks and maybe even just the game over first half, things like that, because I think Seattle may not punt, at least in the first three quarters. The Jets' secondary, and I just think it's a really good situation to back Seattle. And I'll say this. I think it's since 2010. I think that's the time frame. The last six times there has been a double-digit favorite that lost outright and happened to be a double-digit favorite in its next game, covered all six times. So basically, wow. Like a solid team, a really good team, however you want to phrase what Seattle is, obviously fell on its face, laid an egg. The next time, they came out and took care of business. Like that's sort of how I read that trend, if you will. And compounding that is just the Jets' demoralizing loss. I mean, that has to have a lingering feeling. And I just don't think we're going to see much effort out of the gangrene here.
Demoralizing season. It's got to be demoralizing, too, as a player to, like, just know that Adam Gase is your general leading you into battle. Like, I can't imagine he's too inspiring for that group.
Correct. I would agree. I would concur with that. Okay, so I'm opening position there. We'll see. You know, I got a little play with on the Bonanza, trying to really stretch the lead. What do you got for us?
You're not gonna bring in the oars. You're gonna go the opposite direction.
I think I know who you're taking. Can I guess?
Yeah, go ahead.
The COVID thing threw me off, but I would guess the Bears.
No, actually, I would probably play that side, but. You know, I liked Pittsburgh. I know we were recording the show and I mentioned that we saw some sharp money on the Steelers, but I actually kind of liked that side even before that happened. Our look-ahead number, we had Pittsburgh favored in this game. The favorite flipped based on what happened Monday night. That's with Pittsburgh losing to Washington and Buffalo winning very easily against the 49ers in Arizona. Pittsburgh needs to keep winning these games to keep pace for that number one seed. I like the Steelers. I'm going to take the Steelers. I see +2 at a lot of books in Nevada right now. So I'll do Steelers +2 for a nickel right now.
Okay. Yeah, no, I'm with you. It was a tough turnaround for Pittsburgh. I mean, it still is, just given that they played on Monday last week. But
right.
Not that Buffalo didn't, but just, you know, in terms of the three consecutive games and whatever it is, 17 days or whatever it is, it's tough. And they keep losing guys. Big Ben looks like he's put together with duct tape. I think losing Dupree, I think the offense will be sharper. This Buffalo team, I think we need to start giving some respect. Look, they have a loss on the Hail Mary. They have a loss to Kansas City. And they have a loss on that weird first COVID game, Tennessee, on like a Tuesday. Those are the only three losses for this team. I mean, you take away the Hail Mary, they're 11-2. Like, I start putting some respect on their name as LeBron.
I couldn't agree with you more. I couldn't agree with you more. But Buffalo, they might be the most underappreciated team in the league. I know that I just picked against them seconds ago. But I think the Bills might be the most underappreciated team in the NFL. They'd be 10-2 if they just knocked down a Hail Mary pass. They've got a really good coach. They've got a really good young quarterback. Good defense. They don't beat themselves. What else can you say about the Bills? There's nothing not to like about the Buffalo Bills. They're a solid team. I think the wrong team is favored in this Sunday night game.
Ooh, that's all. Kiss of death. Usually that phrase has been uttered by many gamblers.
I don't mind jinxing myself. I'm not afraid.
Your lovely sister and your soon to be. You know, new addition to the family will not get the right gifts if you continue to press the voodoo.
Bro, well, you know what? Caroline has already been given so many gifts by me. Regardless of the outcome of the show, Caroline is going to do very well. Don't worry about her.
All right, good. We have to make sure that's intact.
Of course.
All right, my friend. Always good catching up. Great content, as always. Interesting. We will not be rooting for the house. We'll be rooting for the public. But good to know what the decisions will need for the house to lose.
It's good to know how you really feel. You know, just rooting for me to be out of my job. But no worries, no hard feeling. And I'll talk to you next week.
All right, bud. Take care.
This has been Baby Bankroll Bonanza.
Okay, that's going to do it for this edition of the Behind the Bets podcast. Thanks to everyone for their time. I know there are a lot of options out there with your free time, and we are certainly honored and appreciative of your choosing this podcast. So thanks to Damian Woody for his insight and the debut of the Behind the Bets podcast, and also Mr. Executive Director. As always, just a quick reminder, Wednesdays we have college football. Go check that out. And then Tuesday this week we previewed UFC 256 with Matthew and Lou. Great stuff, great insight as always. Also, Brett Okamoto joined the UFC pod, so you can go download that on his insight into the co-main events for this coming weekend in Las Vegas. Thanks again to everyone. Best of luck, and we'll see you back here next week.